Heavenly Father, thank you that your Spirit is with us. Father, we know that you pour your Spirit out on your people as we've symbolised in baptism today, so we know he's with us. Father, we pray he'll do his work among us. Father, fill us with faith, whether for the first time or in a new way. Help us to believe the things that we read in your word, these precious truths. Help us to love them. Help us to understand them. Help us to live in the light of them. And Father, we pray that the fruit of that is Christ's body, your church, made strong and healthy and giving you glory. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an outline in your bundle just if you wanted to see the roadmap where we're going. So, in February this year, I celebrated 10 years of ordained ministry. It's hard to believe that could be true for someone who looks as youthful as me, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm, as Julie will attest, I'm not a particularly sentimental person, but it's the sort of milestone that gets you thinking back and thinking about the lessons that you've learnt about the Christian life and about ministry and about church over those 10 years. And it was interesting to kind of be in the midst of that reflection process as we step back into 1 Corinthians, which has got a lot to say about what it means to be a healthy church. And reflecting on chapter 12 and this very famous discussion about the gifts of God and the very famous image of the church as one body made up of many parts, that's been particularly stimulating and challenging and thought-provoking as I reflect back not just on 10 years of ordained ministry, but even beyond that to my whole Christian experience since I was a kid as a member of a church. And I think that I'm becoming convinced that so much of what can be frustrating and disappointing about being part of a church community, you know, as a member or as a minister, it actually flows from a failure to really believe the truths that are taught in this chapter and the next one about spiritual gifts. And so many of the joys of being part of a church community are realised when most people do believe the truths that are taught in this chapter and the next one about spiritual gifts. The question of spiritual gifts has generated in an enormous volume of popular books and all sorts of gift inventories and find your gift courses. And presumably this is because many Christian people are uncertain about what their gifts are and they really want to know. And if you're one of those people, I have very good news for you. Today I will absolutely tell you how to find out what your gifts are. I will absolutely tell you how to do that. But my real goal is to stop you asking that question and instead to get you asking a different question, which I think is a better question if you actually want to exercise your gifts. And so what do we see in this passage? Well, as I said, I'm only going to highlight three things. Firstly, first thing we learn is that we have gifts because there is a giver on a mission. We have gifts because there is a giver on a mission. See in verse 3, Paul reminds us that God's Holy Spirit is at work in God's people, leading them to give glory to Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those job interviews where they ask you about your life goals. Have you ever had that? What's the Holy Spirit's great goal in life? His great goal is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. In little Daniel's baptism, look at him there, he's a chilled one, isn't he? In little Daniel's baptism, the water was a symbol of the Holy Spirit being poured out. Whenever someone comes to faith in Christ, they get the reality that that is a symbol of. The Holy Spirit is actually poured out on them. And when the Holy Spirit has been poured out on someone as they come to salvation, what work do you think the Holy Spirit starts to do in them? He starts to use them to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, the exercise of every spiritual gift is ultimately a work of God by His Spirit pursuing that mission of bringing glory to Christ. We have spiritual gifts only because God, by His Spirit, gives them. And you see that emphasised in verse 4. Have a look at verse 4. Where the different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. You see it emphasised again in the bit from verse 7 to verse 9. See that list of, he lists a sort of random, well, probably not random, but he lists a bunch of spiritual gifts, and he keeps saying, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. You see it emphasised a third time in verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. God is the source of all spiritual gifts. In verse 11, He is the one who allocates the gifts among His people, and He doesn't just kind of randomly chuck them out of a helicopter over us. He allocates them according to His purposes. And you see the first, well, you see some of the implications of that, don't you? The first implication, I have no more reason to boast about my spiritual gifts than I do to boast about my salvation. I only have either of them because God graciously chose to give them to me. Second implication, at the same time, I have no reason to wish that my gifts were different to what they are. God has decided that His purposes are best served by me having particular gifts. Do I trust that He knows what He's doing? I do. Then why would I want different ones? Third implication, every Christian has spiritual gifts. You see it there. Look at verse 7. Now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Because the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us who trust Christ, He is at work in each one of us who trust Christ, nurturing and cultivating spiritual gifts. That is true of every single person who trusts Christ. It's true if you started trusting Christ yesterday. It's true if you've been trusting Christ for decades. You seen that ad where the people get invited to the party and they're told don't bring anything? You know the ad I'm talking about? And they get all stressed because, oh, we've got to bring something. And, of course, they settle on a box of chocolates, which is an excellent choice. So it's good. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, He never turns up empty-handed. He always brings gifts. Every single time a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in that person's heart. He brings gifts. What's God's purpose in distributing these gifts to each and every one of His people? What's His purpose? Well, what do we say the great purpose of the Holy Spirit was? To bring glory to Jesus Christ. And when God's Holy Spirit comes and He takes up residence in us when we're saved, He starts to use us to bring glory to Jesus Christ. How? By giving us gifts that we can use to build up and make strong Christ's body, His church. That's how. We're given our gifts, this is the second point in the outline, we're given our gifts so that we can use them together to make God's church strong and healthy. We're given our gifts so that we can use them together to make God's church strong and healthy. And you see that in what I think is the key verse, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Holy Spirit isn't giving us gifts for us. He's giving us gifts that we're supposed to use in the service of others. The goal of the Holy Spirit is not to make me gifted and special. His goal is to use me as one instrument among other instruments to build up the body of Christ. That's what my gifts are. My gifts are my capacities to serve in ways that grow and strengthen Christ's body. My opportunities to serve others in ways that grow and strengthen Christ's body. The situations around me where I am able to help build up brothers and sisters in ways that grow and strengthen the body of Christ. Those are my gifts. Do you notice, if you look at verse 4 and 6, they give us a couple of other ways of describing what we usually describe as spiritual gifts. In those verses, he's not talking about three different things. He's talking about one thing in three different ways. We're used to talking, I think, about gifts of the Spirit, but they're also services of the Lord. You see that there? They're also works that God provides the strength for. He's talking about the same thing in each of those descriptions. My gifts are my capacities and opportunities to serve brothers and sisters around me in ways that enrich and build up the spiritual health of the church so that the body of Christ is made glorious. And I think that seeing this is crucial to understanding how I work out what my spiritual gifts are. I think much discussion about spiritual gifts comes at it from 180 degrees the wrong way around. The books and the gift inventories and the courses you can do, they are invariably about finding my gifts by some sort of self-reflection. So I've got to think about my abilities and my experience, my character and my personality and my joys and my passions. And from that, I then discover what my gifts are, and then I go and look for opportunities to exercise those gifts. And then I get really frustrated because nobody else seems to recognise the gifts I recognise that God's given me. And they keep pleading with me to serve in other ways which are not the ones I think I'm gifted for. Or I discover there are actually six other people already exercising my gift, and so it's a bit crowded. And not as much opportunity for me to do it, and it's all a bit of a letdown. Well, sometimes I discover that the way of serving that gave me great joy at the beginning feels a lot less exciting after a while, and I start to question whether it's really my gift at all. But if gifts are my capacities and opportunities to serve the brothers and sisters around me to build up Christ's body, the church, then the right way to find out what they are is to turn that all on its head 180 degrees. To not ask what are my gifts, but to ask how can I serve these brothers and sisters sitting around me to build them up? What can I do to serve the unity and the holiness of this little church community? How can I help to make it more spiritually healthy? Go look for the needs and then have a go at meeting them. And where Christ's body is made more glorious as a result, you have found a gift. In fact, you've been a gift. Look at the people around you. What spiritual needs do they have? Think about our common ministry together. Where are their gaps and weaknesses? What contribution could you make? Maybe a humble contribution, but what contribution could you make to strengthening that, to helping with that? Who is hurting? Who is facing challenges? What could you do to help them? How are our different ministry areas actually asking for help and support? Are you maybe fitted to provide the sort of help that they're looking for? And then have a go. Does your contribution seem to be helping? Oh my goodness, you found a gift. Sometimes you have a go and it doesn't work out for whatever reason. That's okay, you've just found that's not your gift. I remember many years ago at my home church, the church where I was saved, we used to have see how many of you are old enough to remember this. We used to have our song words projected onto the screen with the old-fashioned overhead projector, not one of these things, the overhead, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? You put the transparencies on the light box and you had to quickly swap them over when you moved from one verse to the next verse. You had to remember to go back as the chorus. And they needed an extra person to help on the roster. And I thought, well, helping people sing God's praises, that's a thing that builds up the church. So I'll give that a go. It's a disaster. Kept getting them the wrong way up. The words are all backwards. And then I'd put them on the projector in the wrong order, so we'd be singing the verse instead of the chorus. And then they'd slide off the projector. And they very quickly decided that it was much safer to have me in the pulpit than it was anywhere near the overhead projector. But someone else had a go, and somehow, miraculously, they could do it with no drama at all. And instead of going, oh man, I'm hopeless and they are great, I just go, well, now we know that that isn't my gift, but thank God that other person came along and they could take over and Christ's body is built up. Do you want to know what your spiritual gifts are? Then stop asking, what are my spiritual gifts? Instead ask, who can I help? What does my church need? And have a go at helping or meeting the need and see how it goes. Sometimes if people, they get a bit enthusiastic about it, but they're not used to thinking this way and they can be very stuck for how to make a concrete sort of a start. Sometimes people catch the vision and they want to serve. They go, I get it, Craig, I want to serve those around, but they don't actually know the individuals who sit around them very well. Well, one of the needs of the church is, obviously, connected members. And so, if that's you, you might go, well, I'm going to invite some people I don't know all that well because they sit on the other side or whatever. I'm going to invite them to church or someone new over for lunch because that'll probably strengthen connections. And you might just discover you've got the gift of connecting people. You might simply come to me and say, Craig, just tell me, what are our different ministry areas? What are they looking for help in next year? And which one do you think I might be able to make the most contribution to? Don't come looking for the one that you're going to get most excited about or that you think you're going to find most stimulating. Go, come, where's the greatest need? Let's see if I got a gift there. I remember being in a church many years ago, a long time ago, where an older couple saw that this body of Christ that they were part of could be strengthened by getting connections, better connections between younger people and older people. And so rather than going to the minister and whinging about it, which is what people normally do, and then he forms a committee and anyway, they decided to have a go at connecting with some of the younger people themselves, making the effort to talk to them, invite them over for a meal. Same church, I think, of another much younger couple who saw that their church really needed another weekly Bible study to help some people grow. And so they went to the minister and they asked if he would be okay with them starting one. And so with his blessing they did, and it ended up being a fantastic thing to enrich a whole bunch of people. Those people didn't start going, what are my gifts? They started by looking to strengthen Christ's body, the church. And so they sought to serve those who God had placed around them, and in doing so, in doing that strengthening work, they discovered what their gifts were, and in some cases, what their gifts were not. So focus on asking, how can I serve others and help make God's church strong and healthy? And the gifts of the Spirit, they will manifest themselves. We have gifts because there is a giver on a mission. We're given our gifts so that we can use them together to make Christ's church healthy and strong. And the final thing I want to say, we have a variety of different gifts, but they're all necessary to make Christ's church healthy and strong. We have a variety of different gifts, but they're all necessary to make Christ's church healthy and strong. And Paul, so he's emphasised that the gifts all come from the one God, but the one God gives all different sorts of gifts. We are all equipped to serve, but we're not all equipped to serve in the same way. And Paul illustrates this with the bit from verse 7. You see there he lists a few examples of the gifts. And then he does it again from verse 28 where he lists some more. And then he asks what he asks in verse 29. Do you see his question? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers, etc., etc., etc.? Clearly implying the answer is no. And in between those two things, he emphasises the diversity of gifts in that great image of the body that is one body made up of many parts, where they've all got to be working together to be a true body and a healthy body. We have a variety of different gifts, but they're all necessary to make Christ's church healthy and strong. And as he uses that powerful image of the body, he draws out some of the implications of that reality. First, we should never covet somebody else's gift as if we're not really spiritually gifted unless we're doing what they're doing. And so the foot should never say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. And this is the classic mistake of old school Pentecostalism, where every true believer should speak in tongues. We will think more about the gift of tongues in a couple of weeks when we get to chapter 14. But just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Is not the clear implication of that verse that it is wrong to expect everybody to have the same spiritual gift? It's not rocket science, is it? And great damage is done when people are made to feel that unless they have this gift, they're not really Christian, they're not really gifted. The Spirit's not really in them. Very few of us are going to make that mistake. Closer to home, those of us who are evangelical, we need to be careful of a slightly different danger. We are very conscious of the importance of word gifts. We understand that the gifts of communicating God's word are greater gifts. They are very important for reasons that, again, we will be reminded of in chapter 14. But we must be careful that we don't create the impression that these greater gifts are the only gifts that matter, or that if you're not preaching or leading a growth group or teaching Sunday school or some other teaching ministry, then you're not really contributing to the health and the life of the church. That's a different version of the same mistake. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Secondly, second implication, we should never think that we can get by spiritually without the other parts of the body and their gifts. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And this was, I think, the particular problem at Corinth. Some seemed to have the gift of tongues, or decided that they had the gift of tongues, and they thought that this was the gift that really mattered, and so they didn't really need the benefit of anybody else's gifts. Now, I don't know many people in my circle who attempted in that particular way, but when we choose to stand off from the life of the church, when we hold back from investing ourselves in others, when we're flaky about gathering each week with a spiritual family, we are saying to one another, I don't need you. We are saying to one another, I don't need you in the sight of the God who said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. When we find ourselves in such violent disagreement with God, we should repent of it immediately, and we should ask him to make us see our need for the brothers and sisters he's provided us with, who I might have treated as if I didn't need them. The people who make up the church are as interdependent as the parts that make up the body. If I can't see that, then that is a sign of spiritual ill health that should throw me on my knees before God, asking him to heal my thinking. We have gifts because there is a giver on a mission. We are given our gifts so that we can use them together to make Christ's church healthy and strong. We have a variety of different gifts, but they are all necessary to make Christ's church healthy and strong. And the most important thing I need to say about spiritual gifts, I'm going to say next week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit on all of your people, on all who trust Christ. And we thank you that that Holy Spirit, he brings us into that great mission that he's on of giving glory to Christ. And so, Father, we thank you that he uses us by gifting us in different ways with different opportunities and capabilities to build up Christ's body, your church, to make it bigger, to make it stronger, to help it grow, to see it healthy. Father, that is an enormous privilege. And, Father, we pray that you make it precious to us. Father, we pray that you make us people who look at those around us who we gather with each week, who look at those around us to ask, how can I help you grow in Christ? How can I serve you? How can I strengthen this community? How can I serve brothers and sisters to make it all happen? And Father, we pray that you give us the wisdom and the insight to see the answers to the questions. And Father, we pray that you give us the faithfulness and the strength to have a go at serving and helping. Father, as we pray that as we do all of that for one another and with one another, that the gifts of the Spirit might manifest themselves, and that the body might be made strong, and that Christ might be glorified as the Holy Spirit wants. And Father, we pray all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and then there'll be a chance to ask that question.